Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night again. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And as always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the children of God as we expound on the Word of God. I'm giving information and the Holy Ghost giving illumination and revelation, and God's Word will not return void. Well, I pray that each and every one of you had a good week, that you studied and meditated on the Word of God, and that you got some clarification on things of God that you have been thinking about over the past week. I also want to thank each and every one of you for calling in week after week, you know, taking time out of your busy schedule. You know, God honors this because it's commitment. God ordained this because we're still here. And I don't take it lightly. I thank God for allowing me to be able to go before his people. So much is happening in the world today. You know, I sit down and wonder sometime, how could someone who doesn't know God, not just know of him, but know him, how do they make it through the day? Because we have oppositions on every side. Someone is always ready to take us down another notch. But thank God for Jesus. Our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Peter. It's 2 Peter. Last week we did 1 Peter, and today we're going to do 2 Peter. The title of our lesson is Growing in Grace. And at this time I'm going to play a song, and the title of the song is You Gotta Be Ready. Or it should be your goal to be ready to receive Jesus when he comes. I'm going to play the song. We're going to come back, go to the throne of grace in prayer, and then we're going to explore the Word of God together. Listen and be prayerful.
Pass it.
that's a beautiful song. And it's just encouraging us to do the things of God that is necessary, that we could feel deep down in our soul that we have grown, we have studied, we wanted to do God's will, we were committed to the things of God, even in our shortcomings, even in our failures. You know, we did the best, and we know that God looks at the heart. And you could get settled in your spirit and say, yes, I am ready to receive my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. At this time, we have to go to God's throne of grace. And if anybody would like to pray at this time, you could press the one button on your phone and you could lead us in prayer. God has given us opportunities, and these are some of the ways in which God knows where we are. You know, the Bible tells us to always be ready and never not accept an opportunity to do the littlest or the biggest thing for God. So if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. And if not, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to go into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, it is once more and again we take time to come to your throne of grace. We enter your courts with thanksgiving and into your gates with praise. God, your word tell us in all things through prayer and supplication, make our requests known unto you. Heavenly Father, I pray that everyone that is listening, that they receive a word from you, dear God, where they could ponder on it, dear God, and ask themselves, what are you saying to them? What they must do, dear God, and what you expect. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be coming on the air Wednesday after Wednesday. I thank you for the opportunity. Lord, I pray a special prayer for everyone that's listening, everyone on the line, everyone that listened all during the week on the computer, dear God. Lord, I just say thank you. Holy Spirit, I let you know that you could have your way in the studio on the night, that you could bring to my memory the things you want the listeners to hear. Lord, let them receive something from you, dear God. Let them hear what the Spirit has to say. Let them just be able to walk away with some newness, dear God, that they could continue in their Christian walk, doing the things that God has instructed us to do. Heavenly Father, all of these blessings and others I ask in your darling Son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen, and glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, we have several more callers and called in. And again, I say we in the book of Peter, 2 Peter, and we're going to expound on verses 3, on chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. And the title of our lesson is Growing in Grace. If any one of you remembered last week's lesson, what came out of 1 Peter, and the subject was being a good steward with the grace that God has given us. Being a good steward. We talked about a steward is someone that take care of something that belongs to someone else till they come back. A good steward is doing what they believe the giver of what the steward has that the steward would want them to do. And if you really look at 2 Peter on the night, last week he said, you know, God has given you this grace. Be a good steward. And now he's saying, what is the responsibility of a good steward? And it falls, and it states that growing in grace. If you're a good steward of what God has given you, you should be growing in that grace. You see, Paul wrote this letter to warn the Christians about false teachers. You know, many lessons that we study always have something in it about some teaching about false teachers. So that in itself should make you realize that, you know, there's false teachers and they're going to be more and more and more. And if someone is teaching something and you don't know it, how would you know if it's true? That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, study to show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And you see, that's how so many people could get turned away. You know, in the scriptures and the books we was reading, plenty of the Christians that was there and they had accepted Christ, and because Jesus hadn't come back when they thought he should, began to want to turn around and go back to Judaism. It's real, y'all. Watch out for false teachers, Peter is saying. And he also wanted to encourage them in grace, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. You see, when Peter wrote 2 Peter, it was several years after the first time he had an encounter with Jesus. This was the last known writing of Peter. And not long after he wrote this book, he was martyred for his strong conviction for the gospel in Jesus Christ. You see, Peter was crucified, and because of his Christian growth, he asked to be crucified upside down. Maybe Peter was a little babe in the beginning of meeting Christ, but when he had grown and he understand and he, see, in the beginning he might have known of Christ, but then he began to truly know who Christ was. He began to have reverence for Christ, and he put him up at such high standards that he didn't even want to be crucified the same way that Jesus hung on the cross. You see, if we look at the life of Peter, we will realize that Peter was enthusiastic. Peter was very strong-willed. He was impulsive and at times arrogant and even sometime cocky, if you know Peter. Yeah, that's how Peter was. But with all of his strength, Peter had several failures in his life. You see, if we look at Peter, we see that Peter was the one that rebuked Jesus when Jesus told the disciples that he would suffer, be killed, then crucified, will be killed and crucified, but in 3 days he would rise. You see, Jesus was trying to let them know, even though they couldn't comprehend it, and they had walked with Jesus for 3 years. But Jesus told them, I'm going, and he talked about his suffering, and he talked about his resurrection. And you see, they wasn't ready to let him go, so Peter was the one who said, you know, you got to stop talking that. Like he had the power over Jesus, or Jesus was making it up as he go. You see, that was Peter. You see, Peter was the one that cut the soldier ear off when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus. Peter cut the soldier ear off and thought he was doing what's right, thought he was helping Jesus. Don't you know Jesus don't need no help? We always trying to help Jesus out. You know, he say go east, we go east a little bit and say we're going to go to west because this would help Jesus out. No. You see, and Peter began to walk on water, and then he sank. You see, the same Peter denied Jesus 3 times. That's Peter, y'all. the writer of this book tonight, one of the first disciples that Jesus selected, Peter. Peter was in Jesus' close circle. There were things in the Bible that only Peter, John, and James was at. Hallelujah. I'm talking about that Peter. You see, but through it all, Peter kept pressing and growing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God sometime in our lives. But we must do like Peter did. We're going to fall down, but you must get up. You need to repent, and you just keep it moving. You keep it moving. And if you continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of God, like Peter became matured. And this is just me improvising this in it. I think one day Peter maybe was sitting down and looking back at his past. You know how we go back down memory lane. You know, and Peter was seeing how it was when he started and where he's at now. Come on, y'all. And Peter must have realized that when he rebuked Jesus, he was leaning to his own understanding. When he cut off the soldier's ear, he realized that that battle was not his, but it belonged to the Lord. Do we lean to our own understanding and we try to fight God's battles? You see, the Lord will fight your battles, but you got to let him. Jesus picked the man's ear up and put it back where it belonged. Come on, y'all. Because Jesus knew his time was short. He knew the will of his Father. And it was all a part of the master's plan. You see, and when Peter sank, it was because he took his eyes off of Jesus. When he denied him 3 times, it was because of fear. But Peter now knows that God is not a God of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You see, Peter, this is what the scriptures want us to know. Through it all, the Lord who chose him, talking about Peter, before the foundation of the world, continued to mold and shape him into his intended purpose. You see, when Peter was probably sitting down there and reflecting, maybe Jeremiah 29:11 had came to his mind, because you know they had been taught with the Old Testament scriptures. And Jeremiah 29:11 said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." You see, God has a master plan for all of our lives. He is in total control, and he will accomplish his purpose. We should be confident that he that has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you accept Christ and you receive your salvation, hallelujah, you know, God that started a perfect work in you is able to complete it. That's where your confidence and your assurance should come in. You see, God is always working it out for our good with the word of God, which gives us the knowledge of God. The grace of God, which is activated by faith in Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. You have to cooperate. We see what growing in grace and the knowledge and allowing the Holy Spirit to now guide him and being confident that Jesus could do it. We see what that did for Peter. And Peter wants you to know God will do the same for you. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. When we look at these scriptures, several things are noted. We know that Peter's life will be short-lived. And if you read 1 Peter, he expressed it in that book. But Peter is saying to us tonight, please get it right for your sake. Nothing you could do. You can't read enough. You can't study enough. You can't pray enough. You can't give enough. You can't whatever to make God love you no more than he loves you. Everything that you do, the growing, the listening and the cooperating, it's for you. Because God said you got to live on this earth, and he know there's evil on every side. He said, but I'm providing you with something that's going to help you to make it through the day. But you got to put in the work. And Chris Peter saying, look, Christian growth should be the goal in your Christian life. And now we're going to go to the scriptures. I'm going to start at 10. I'm going to read 10, 11, and 12. And the scriptures read, but the day of our Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. That's taught in Revelation, baby, and we got to get to it in a couple of weeks. But everything as we know it is going to disappear and be gone. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the heavens, the earth, heavens, not heaven, the heavens, the earth, the land, the trees, the fish, and the, you know, everything is going to be dissolved. And this is what he asks, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So he's saying what kind of person you should be until this happened. Watch your conversation and let your light shine, which is godliness, until Jesus come back. Let him find you working. And 12 say, look for and hasten unto the coming of the day of the Lord, where in the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's at the end. But you see, that's going to be the last judgment. And all those who believe in Christ, you know, if you're a Christian, you won't be here. Because you see, Jesus is going to come back for his people, the dead in Christ, and those that are still alive, and that's with the rapture. And then once all of those people go with Jesus to the prepared place that he prepared for us, then the world's going to keep going on, and then they're going to have a final judgment. So people that are left after the rapture can have a second chance. But thank God for salvation, because we won't be here at that time. The tribulation. You see, the things of this world are all temporal. Peter is letting us know that Jesus is coming back, but no man knows the hour. Then the question I have to ask you, while you're waiting for his return, as he said in the scripture, what kind of people would you be? He goes on to say, everything as we know it will pass away. So it lets us know that only what we do for Christ will last. What are you doing with what Jesus has given you to be a steward of? Going back to last week's lesson, remember, everything belonged to God. And tonight I ask you to ask yourself the question, what have you done for God lately with your time, your resources, your gifts, and your talents? Some people believe they have time to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. So if anyone is listening or maybe on the internet, you know, you may believe and you're not saved that you have time. But the scripture lets us know nobody know the time nor the hour. And there's others who are saved and think that they have so much time to do better and get it right. The time is now. You see, once you are saved, it should be your goal to grow in the knowledge of God. Stop leaning to your own understanding and then making it up as you go. You know, when people say things like, oh, it don't take all of that. No, I don't have to go to church. No, you know, if I need my money, I don't have to contribute. And I just have to take care of me, myself, and I. And I don't have nothing that I would want to share. That's making it up. Use the word of God as your moral compass. You see, the Bible said that we will be these type of people who do these things and make it up as they go. They'll be ever learning, but never coming into the knowledge of truth. And their Christian growth will be limited. See, they're going to learn a little bit, and they're going to learn a little here, and they're going to pick up something there. They're going to use what their mama told them, and they're going to say what they heard the preacher on the radio say last night, and they're going to remember what they saw in the movie Ten Commandments. And they might have learned something, but they won't know the truth because you have to study. And they have the audacity to be talking loud and saying nothing. Just because we love the Lord, it doesn't exempt us from pain. So let's get that straight. For pain is a part of God's plan. Look at Job. Job had burrows and had to scrape himself. He lost his children, his land, his cattle. He lost his servants all in one day. Don't, you know, and whatever pain you're going through, you know, it's all a part of God's plan, and in it all, he was still working it out together for Job, because in the end, Job got double for his trouble. Hallelujah. And many thought Job had did something so bad that had caused that such great hardship on him. But if you read the word of God, you realize that it was only a test. God uses everything that he allowed in your life experiences, your failures, even your greatness and your in whatever. He uses all of that to mature us. And just like Job, sometime it may be only a test. You see, you won't know this if you don't study and grow. It's never what comes our way, but who we go through it with. And his name is Jesus. We should never stop growing in God's word, his will, and his work. It's a process, not a destination. While you are alive, it's a journey. You know, some people already believe they done reached the pinnacle, but they only fooling themselves. To know this, you need the knowledge of God. So for those who are saved and not doing some of the things necessary to grow, and you may even think about, you know, I need to read more, I need to, you know, pray more, I need to study more, we know we could do more, and we sometimes believe we should do more, but, you know, we don't get to it, but ask yourself the question, because salvation is a gift, and once saved, it's always saved. And if you're saved, if you truly saved, you have to ask yourself the question, I'm saved, now what? And if we look at verses 13 and 14, it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, you know, the scriptures tell us it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Jehovah's Witnesses teach a lot about the New Jerusalem. This is what it's talking about, when everything is going to be made new. You know, we say in our Father's Prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's going to be the newness. But he said, therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, and you believe it, and that should be your hope, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spots and blemish. That was verse 14. You see, we see that God has promised us a new heaven and a new earth, and advise us to diligently grow so that we may be found in peace. You see, he's telling you to grow. Not that it's going to make God be in peace. God is total peace. God is total love. God is totally everything. God will never change, because there's no reason for him to change. But you have to change to receive the things of God. Now, this thing say that you could be in peace with him. So I went to Philippians 4 and 7, and it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. How you want peace that surpasses all understanding? You begin to change and grow. You see, God's purpose for us was not destruction, but recreation. God will purify the heavens and the earth with fire, and then he will create them anew. You know, God created the Garden of Eden, and he ain't got away from that's how he wants his people to live, and he's going to do it. Yes, and as the scripture said up here, he's got to burn all of this trash away. Because when sin entered the world, it didn't just pollute man. It polluted the water. It polluted the land. It polluted the trees. It polluted the seeds that grow up. When you could grow up and put two seeds and get another thing, another different fruit. It polluted everything, and God's going to get rid of it all. You see, we should not become lazy and complacent, because Christ has not come yet. Instead, we should live in eager expectations for his coming. And if we look at 15 and 16, they say, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our brother Paul, y'all know Paul, did all of his letters. Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto us. He said, remember all of the letters that Paul did, and we did each one of them. He said, all of the knowledge was given to him by God, but it was written unto you. And 16, as also in all his epistles, his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are sometime hard to be understanding, which they that are unlearned and unstable, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. What they saying, Sister Diane? Paul gave us all of this, and if we study and begin to grow, we'll know. But if you not doing too much studying, or even people that's unsaved, the unlearned and the unstable, you know, they just not going to get it. Peter is saying that I'm not saying nothing new. He said, you see all of the writing that Paul wrote? We all saying the same thing. From Genesis to Revelation, we encouraging you not to follow false teachers. The Bible encourage you to look at the examples that God gave us, that we don't make the same mistakes. encouraging us to study, that we could build ourselves up, that we could be edified. The Holy Ghost can call things to your memory. If you don't have nothing in there, the Holy Ghost can't get nothing out of there. He wants you to have the word, because when you get that call in the midnight hour and all hell broke loose, and maybe your loved one has passed away or your child has gone into some kind of trouble, he wants you to say, it is well. He wants you to say, I don't know what the outcome going to be, but God is working it out for my good. He wants you to say that God is not going to leave me nor forsake me, and everything is going to be all right. That's the word of God. When Jesus was tempted by the devil for after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to him with three situations, and that's the same thing he's due to us. He put these things in our mind, and our mind going to either be talking us into something or talking us out. Every time the devil came back to Jesus with something else, trying to get Jesus to accept his perception and make it be his reality, Jesus used the word of God. He even told him, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceed out the mouth of God. See, Satan was trying to get Jesus, so you don't think he's going to try to get you. When we first believed, we were babes. And some, even though they have been saved for a long time, are still babes, because they handle the things of God without any commitment towards growing. You should understand that God is not slow to wrath. Check him out in the Old Testament. God wiped out the whole earth with the book, hallelujah, of Noah. Come on, y'all. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He made them stay in the desert for 40 years. God is not slow to wrath. He don't know how to put a stop to us. But God has a master plan, and it's going to be fulfilled. And it's God's desire that everybody get a chance to be saved. He said, I'm not going to destroy this world, and I'm not going to let Jesus come till everybody had the opportunity to either accept or don't accept. And if we look at verse 17, hallelujah, 18, which is our last scriptures, it say, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before. What I'm telling you is not nothing y'all ain't never heard. He said, beware lest ye also being led away with error of the wicked, which is false teachers. How could somebody be Baptist, a Catholic, a Methodist for 30 years and a Jehovah's Witness knock on their door and they become Jehovah's Witness? First of all, they were never saved. And second of all, when they accepted Christ, they didn't do it with their whole heart. And they never grew to get the knowledge to do it. They didn't have no foundation. And the Jehovah's Witness came, made it sound good, and they would change. How could somebody be a Baptist person for 15 years and go to prisons and a Muslim talk to them for a week and they convert to being a Muslim? We as Christians believe Jesus is the way. So we would believe that everything other than that is false teaching. The scripture says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, you've heard it before, beware lest ye also lead away with the error of the wicked, which is false teachers, fall from your own steadfastness. Peter said, I ain't telling you nothing new. Peter said, I know my time is short, and if I got anything to say, you have to look at 2 Peter and say, wow, this is Peter's last writing. What is he really saying? He has lived and experienced and been with Jesus. What Peter have to say to us? Because you got to, I look at it as being profound. His last writing, y'all. And his last verse in 2 Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen. You see, therefore, since you know that these things, you know these things, don't continue to just be a hearer, but at some time try to be a doer. Stop allowing the word of God to get in your head and stay there. We must submit and obey and learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit for illumination and revelation so that we, that the word can now enter our heart. You see, change take place in the heart where the Holy Ghost dwells. And finally he said, grow in grace. Peter lets us know that it's all about growth. Christian growth is necessary for our walk with God. God has done his part by providing us with everything that we will ever need to live a righteous life. I like to say we live in a dispensation of time of no excuses. Ain't nobody, they say when we get to the prepared place that Jesus prepared for us, we'll be able to speak to Jesus and all of them face to face. And I say it's a dispensation of time of no excuses because you'll never say, God, why you didn't. Because even if you fix your mouth to say it, he's going to say, I did it, but you was doing what you wanted to do. I had it for you here, but you went over there. I was waiting for you at the top, and you was doing everything you could to stay on the bottom. God never asked you to do anything without providing first the evidence that is true. How many of y'all could say, I know God because I know what God can do because he did it for others, but he could do it for you? And how many of y'all have a testimony how God brought you through, how the things in your life came through, and you know it couldn't be nothing but God? See, that's the evidence of what he's working with. And after he give you the evidence that it is true, he then provide provisions for you to accomplish it. Growing not as hard as you think. God is and in doing is in doing the work in you. He said, "Come as you are, and let me work on you. Let me circumcise your heart. Let me, you know, do these things." But you have to submit and obey and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:13 say, "Let us know that it is God that worketh in you to both do and to will his good pleasure." God said, I'm going to get out you what I want. Hallelujah. He said, it is I that worketh in you to get what I want. But you got to cooperate. And working out our soul salvation don't mean that we must work to obtain it. You see, we already have it by our faith in Jesus Christ. But it is God that working in us. We're not working to be saved, but because we are saved, we should want to work. You see, once you receive salvation, it is not the end but the beginning of a lifelong journey. To grow, we must continue in the things of God that are written in the Word of God, which is our daily instruction for our daily living. No matter what the question is, the answer is in the Bible. We must not allow our flesh, which the Bible defines as the world views, to become our compass. You got to realize that there are no microwave recipes, no quick fixes, no magic potions, no timeout, no vacation. A leave of absence. And you have to do your part. Because if you don't, the Holy Ghost is leading, God is leading, and Jesus died to lead us. But you could bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. And I just want you to know tonight how fast and how fall, you grow in the things of God depends on you. You see, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, by faith you receive the grace of God. Grace is God giving his greatest treasure to the least deserving, which is every one of us. We have to realize that we are in the world, but not of the world. When we came to Christ, just as we were all babes. And as we grow in the things of God, we become matured. It's a process. You see, change is inevitable, but growth is an option. Change is going to keep coming, but growth is an option. Growing in grace and the knowledge of God is a choice, and it's up to us. You may know of God, but really don't know God. And to truly know God should be your goal. You have to put in the work. The Bible teaches that God wants us to enthrone ourselves. He wants us to get in these high places. Come on, y'all. To enthrone. You know, enthrone is someone sitting on a throne. He wants us to enthrone ourselves and take our rightful place as heirs and join heirs with Jesus Christ, because we are his children. He will be with us. God is always in front of us, behind us, in the middle of everything that happens to us. Nothing can take him by surprise. In his word, he is letting us know, I got this. Come on, y'all. You know, we say Jesus died and was buried and was, well, crucified and was buried and rose. And, you know, the songs say we know how the story ends. But 3 days later, he rose again, because that's love. And you have to remember, we have the victory. The Bible talks about everything we'll go through. Give us examples to how to overcome it. And then give us the picture. You know, it got in there about the streets made of gold. Come on, y'all. Jesus coming back and taking us in the air. God is saying, I got this. He said, let me tell you, no weapon that form against you will prosper. But if you don't know your place, how can you get there? If you don't believe you belong on a throne, Jesus, God said when Jesus died, he made a way for us to be kings and priests. And that's why this, you know, the scripture say, enthrone yourself. You will never know who you truly are until you know who your maker is. That is why so many people are looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's just a fact, Jack, and you just as well believe it. You see, studying the word of God gives us confidence and assurance that if God be for you, who could be against you? And it lets us know that all things will work together for our good if you love him. You see, and with this thing of growing, you know, we have to meditate, the Bible say, day and night. And you see, when we meditate on the word of God is where the overflow come from. Do you want to overflow? The Bible asks us to meditate day and night. It didn't say pray all day and all night. Think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are good. Think on things that are a good report. That's where the overflow comes from. And praying is you talking to God and waiting for him to talk to you. And as I close tonight, Don't govern your life by world standards, which are the things of the flesh. They describe the world as the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. And you see, when I say all things, don't be downtrodden, because some people may have more than you. Hallelujah. Everything is not for everybody. And there's going to be some things you'll never get if you live to be 130. But whatever God has designed and set up for you, believe me, it's enough to see you through. But you got to know it. You got to know it. You got to know it. And when Peter talked about us diligently waiting with expectancy, you might say, Diane, how you do that? Well, let your light so shine. And when the master returns, he will be able to say, my good and faithful servant, you never stop growing in my word, my will, or my work. You held on to the confession of your faith. You accepted my son, and I got the glory. Well done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he'll say, only what you did for me lasted. Now come and receive your reward. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, if anyone would like to add to it a testimony, give encouragement, ask for prayer, you know, anyone would like to pray or sing a song, you know, this opportunity is being extended to you. Anybody want to make any comments on the lesson that went forth? Well, at this time, I'll say a prayer. A short prayer with a benediction. And anybody that know me knows that 2 Peter 3:18 is my, well, one of my favorite verses. Grow in grace. Our lesson next week is going to come out of the book of John. I want you to know there's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 1 John has 5 books. 2 John has 1. And 3 John, I think, has 3. So you guys could start reading the books of John. After we finish with 1, 2, 3 John, the next book is Jude. And Jude was one of Jesus' brothers, like James. And once we do Jude, we will be in the book of Revelation. Caller, your number is 504-324-6868. Your mic is open.
Yes. I just want to say real quickly, knowing that the study is over now, that that was an awesome message. False teachers are in the land today. Very, very prevalent. It's widespread, and we really do have to be careful who we listen to. I just want to say that much.
Thank you so much, Carla. And it is just true. And you know, I said it, Peter said it, Paul said it, and you said it. It could never be said enough. That's why we have to, use our voice to articulate our faith as well. Some could get it from you better than they could get it from me. Peter had to come back because Paul had already said it. But that's how we have to do with the Word of God. Keep saying it every chance and opportunity we have. So I thank you for those comments, sister, that you added to the lesson tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank God.
If there's anyone else that would like to say anything, you could press the one button. And if not, we're going to go ahead and close out. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, and we thank you for your Spirit. God, we thank you for your master plan. We thank you for every word that you inspired man to write in your Holy Bible. God, I want you to know that I believe everything from Genesis to Revelation, but me in and of myself haven't been able to achieve it all. But I will do as Peter did. I will continue to press, and as Paul did, press. And as all of the people in the Bible did, they kept pressing. Because, Lord, I believe that your word is your will and your will is your word. Help us, dear God, to be committed and grow in grace in your knowledge. Heavenly Father, bless everyone until we meet again. And if it's your will, dear God, we'll be back next week at the same time. Keep all of us, dear God. Remember all of the prayers that we did on the line. Let us continue to pray for one another. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in Jesus' name. And many times, y'all, when I close the program and I do a benediction, I say, grow in the grace and the knowledge of God and our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Plenty of times I also say, if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. And I want you to know, you reading the Bible is not going to make God more God. Praying is not going to make God more God. But it's to help you. Everything God put out there is for you to be the best you could be. It's for you to do his will so that he can operate in it. You know, God don't operate out of the will of God. So all of this is for you. So I pray that we all grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the program for tonight. Remember, next week, 1 John, 5 chapters, read them all. You could even go to 2 John, 2 John, 1 chapter. And if you really have the time, 3 John, 3 chapters. And we'll be back again on next week if the Lord allow it. I just want you guys to know that I love you. Just as God loves. He say, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the program. Good night, everybody. And I pray God be with you until we meet again. Good night.